Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin. We are live on Facebook, and Justin has brought us an extraordinarily beautiful source to be in together today. If you're new to us, what happens here is that we have something at the beginning of the conversation that guides us, prompts us, gives rise to conversation between us that is completely live and unplanned. And each of us has time to reflect in conversation with each other about what this source means to us. And so far, we haven't ever had an uninteresting conversation in all of the 160 something episodes we've done. And so today I'm feeling in deep appreciation of the kind of range of sources that are out there for us to have as sources for this particular thing, because some things are really not the kind of thing that work here, but there are many things that do. And so Justin and I alternate the weeks that we bring the sources, and they come out of our poetry books and probably from the internet and from things we've read and our own writing and all those things. And it just amazes me that we keep coming up with ever more sources. How amazing. So thank you, Justin, for bringing this, and I'm really happy to be embarking on the conversation today.
Thanks, Lizzie. Yeah, me too. Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It doesn't seem to matter how many hundreds of times we do this, Lizzie. It feels like such a delight to me to be here in this conversation with you, and also to know how many people there are around us. So I want to say a really big welcome, as we always do, to everyone, all of you who are here live. You can find our Facebook group, Turning Towards Life. You can come and be with us live and also talk to other people there in the comments, which is rather sweet. And we're on podcast, on all the ordinary podcast places, and on YouTube, and on our turningtowards.life website. And you can find out lots more about Third Space, which is the group of us, the partnership that gave rise to all of this, at wearethirdspace.org. So there's lots of places to find us. And this morning, this is our last week of 2020, Lizzie, and just feeling very grateful for what this has been through what has been a tumultuous year on so many levels, and the feeling of completing something and a beginning again anew, which is actually what we do every week. So I wish I could say thank you to whoever it was who brought this source our way, because I found it because somebody else included it somewhere and I don't remember who it was, but I'm so grateful to have this with us, and to Maya Stein for her writing. And you can find this, if you want to read it, on the Facebook group and on our website. And as always, I'm going to read it, and then Lizzie, you can read it, and we'll talk. So I feel like saying, maybe this is a moment to pause in the middle of whatever you're doing and to soften yourself and see what you can do to let Maya Stein's words in. The title of this is "It Looks Like the Sky Is Coming Apart and Together at the Same Time." And the body is holding its losses like a fist. And a fleshy hope is opening to an unprecedented vastness. And whatever we think we're leaving behind, we'll keep insisting. And the things we desire will elude us. And our efforts will pose as failure. And we will not recognize how far we've come. And we will solve one problem and create another. And we will feel broken, and we will not be broken. And the silence will be deafening, and we will love destructively, and no one will appear to be listening, and there will be too many doors to choose from, and we will keep saying, "I don't know how to do this." And we will be more capable than we ever imagined.
It looks like the sky is coming apart and together at the same time. and the body is holding its losses like a fist. And fleshy hope is opening to an unprecedented vastness. And whatever we think we're leaving behind will keep insisting, and the things we desire will elude us, and our efforts will pose as failure. And we will not recognize how far we've come. And we will solve one problem and create another. And we will feel broken, and we will not be broken. And the silence will be deafening. And we will love destructively, and no one will appear to be listening. And there will be too many doors to choose from. And we will keep saying, I don't know how to do this. And we will be more capable than we ever imagined.
I am as I thought I would be, Lizzie, so moved when you read the last line. We will be more capable than we ever imagined. And I suppose this writing by Maya Stein really spoke to me at this moment. We're in the darkest part of winter. We're on the dawn of the turning of a calendar year. We're many months into a kind of difficulty in the world that has had far-reaching impacts. Here in the UK, we're in a time of great political uncertainty and change. There's lots happening. And I thought that Maya Stein's words remind me of two things which are always true, which I often forget. So one is life is way, way more complicated and messy and paradoxical than I'm sometimes willing to admit or to accept, I think is a better word. Now, there are so many parts of me, Lizzie, that wish that things were simple and straightforward and that I knew what to do and that the path was obvious and that people would listen and I wouldn't make mistakes and all of that. And I think her words are such kindness that the things we've left behind will keep insisting and the things we desire will elude us and we'll solve one. I know this one. We'll solve one problem, we'll create another. And so it's, so all of that is here. That the world is never going to be the golden fantasy of completeness and comprehensibility, like our ability to comprehend the world is never going to be the way we might imagine it would be, and that's all here. But also the reminder of how often we're mistaken about our own capacities and what we've brought about. Really, I think we really need to remember that. I think for many of us, I know this is really true of me, it's really easy to live on the side of I'm broken, I can't do it, I have not yet been strong enough, responsible enough, loving enough, skillful enough, all of that. It's really easy to live on that side. I think we need to know that hope is opening to an unprecedented vastness. And I think we need to know that our efforts will pose as failure, but that doesn't mean that they're failure. And I think we need to know that we often don't recognize how far we've come. And I think we need to know that whilst we're creating problems, we're also solving them, and that we're not broken even when we're broken, and that we will love, and that no one will appear to be listening, which is one of the great mistakes we make, is to go silent because we believe that no one's listening. So to know that the appearance that no one is listening and no one listening are not the same things, and that we will be more capable than we ever imagined. I think we have to remember all of this. And I'm so, so moved and in hope and to have a way of giving language to how broken and messy everything is and how right on the inside of that, not separate from it, not on the outside of it, is all our hope and all our capacity and all our successes and all our love. It's right there in the being expressed right in the middle and not separate from it.
My goodness, I'm having so many thoughts and feelings in the listening and just the speaking of it, and then your reflections. I'm wondering how to begin to say what what I feel. Maybe I'll start in the beginning. So when you were reading, Justin, I felt like I was thrown to the edge of things, like I was given the experience of being on the edge of my own development or something. Like when I feel like I'm entering new territory that I don't understand and I don't know, I felt like this was a descriptor of that edginess in me where I am growing, but growth never feels like growth, if you know what I mean. It's like I have to label it that so that I can understand it as, for what it is. And it always feels like this territory here, which is a very different existence to my habitual, well-honed things I can do, ways I can be easily self. And so I feel like I was kind of thrown, as you were reading, into, oh, this is the territory where it feels new. Things feel new and I feel stumbly and I don't know what I'm doing. These are all the things that arise. And so this feeling of, you know, whatever we think we're leaving behind, we'll keep insisting, is so familiar to me. Like, oh, I feel like I'm in a new place, in some new territory here, as a human being, like really simple things like saying no to things or learning what it means to disappoint people or whatever the thing is that I've been not doing for all kinds of good reasons, safety and protection, and maybe I stopped doing something. And then, oh, I haven't left that behind at all. You know, it's still insisting. And the things I really want are not here. And it's for me, it kind of speaks of the transition of worlds, between worlds, if you like. So I felt very thrown into that place and how this poem makes sense in that place of shifting. And then as you were reflecting, I could feel that there's so many ways that all of us are pretending that none of this is true. You know, like when you're walking around and you kind of think, oh gosh, everyone's got their shit together, you know? And then when this poem is written, there's something about poetry where I think, well, if someone's written it, it means that at least it's true for them that these things are happening. And actually, it's probably true for many, 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 many people, maybe not all. But actually, if we were to get comfortable with all of this, maybe we'd stop doing loads of things that are protective of the fact that this is true. Like, as in, there's so many ways we do things to deny that this is all true, to kind of push it away or pretend. So then I was just thinking of the liberation that comes from to saying this is true. I feel broken and I'm not broken. No one seems to be listening to me. It seems to be really accurate. And I was feeling the kind of, often when we're here having these conversations and in any kind of conversation that's real and true and honest and deeper than the normal realms of social conversation, which I love, but this is a different thing, I feel like this big sigh of relief that there's such a deep kind of commonality, a significant commonality between all of us. And for example, I think I don't know how to do this all the time. You know, I really do think, oh my God, you know, how am I going to do that thing? And I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I don't feel like a skilled professional it is. Like, I rarely feel like a skilled professional. And there are moments of mastery and moments of, oh, I think I've kind of found my ground here. But it very quickly disappears, which is the nature of the beast. It's like, that's what it is to learn and to be learning and continuing to deepen. So there are moments where I'm standing on firm ground, but the majority of the time, I don't know how to do this. And so it feels really honest and really soothing to be met in that place, rather than having kind of some secret internal world that's filled with, I don't know how to do this, and no one's listening, and there's too many doors, and surely I should be able to do this by now, and how come what I want never gets anywhere near me? And, you know, it just feels really beautifully kind of touching of these little private parts of life that actually bringing them to the light and to the conversation feels very validating and seeing and kind and open.
I was really touched by what you said about growth, Lizzie, that when we find there are times that we find ourselves, we can feel the truth of all of this when the world seems to be opening in some way. And whilst you were speaking, I was, I could feel this dynamic that certainly I know in me, and also think is true of many, many, many people, that we get thrown between kind of deflation and a kind of grandiosity. And when we're deflated and we feel very, very small and like the world is way too much for us, we imagine that the way that we ought to be is, like you said, the way that we can sometimes imagine other people are, which is they've got it all together. They understand what life is. They understand how to navigate through their lives. They're sorted, they're grounded, they're all of that kind of stuff. We have this fantasy that that's how people are. And then there are other times that we feel kind of grandiose, which is like, well, nothing can touch me. I'm on top of everything. And it's very easy to get flung between these two poles. And what both of those poles have in them is a kind of certainty to them. I am this way, whichever way it is. I am this way. The world is this way. And that's sorted. And because I know that to be true, then all of these consequences, like there's no hope for me, or nobody at all is listening or will ever listen to me, or all of my efforts are and always will be a failure and all of that. Or we don't see the complexity of our lives because we've sort of defended ourselves by puffing ourselves up, but they're both certainties. And that very often the path of our own unfolding into life is when we find that what we had taken to be certain really isn't certain, and we open to that there are lots and lots of different stories and interpretations which are simultaneously true here. And we undo our... It seems to me that very often certainty is a kind of rigidity or defensiveness that we have, which is not to say, like, I was with you when you said, you know, when we have glimpses of our own mastery, there are times when we've got our feet on the ground and we know what to do with whatever's coming towards us, and they're wonderful and they're worth treasuring and they're worth cultivating our capacity to respond to the world. But very quickly we get faced again that however far we've come with that is it can't meet the vastness of the world. So it is really kind to be able to say, without making this move, that we can also make, there's another polarity that we can get into, which is to go from certainty to complete despair and confusion. Like, I know everything about the world, and then say, well, now I'm nothing. These words here hold us right in the center place, right in the middle. And it's right in the middle that we always are. Like, we're middle in size. We're not the tiniest of the tiniest or the giantest of the giantest. We're right here in the middle. Like, the middle in the midst of things place is the place that human life always happens. Mm. And there's such a reminder in these words and in our conversation also that very often there's so much that we don't see And if we could keep reminding ourselves that what we can see, feel, apprehend and comprehend in the middle of something is only part of the whole picture, we can also right-size ourselves. I don't have to be God. I don't have to be in control of it. I don't have to have endless reach and, you know everything and endless power. But I'm also not nothing here. I really am something. And the other thing is all the other people around me are somethings too.
Mm.
So it sort of levels us, but in a place where we can be properly humble and properly powerful at the same time, like properly open and receptive. And I'm so glad we're having this conversation, because the other thing that's occurring to me as I'm speaking about it is that it seems to me that it's of our nature to forget this.
Mm.
We forget that we're here in the middle in the complexity somehow.
Mm. My God, I'm so enjoying this language middling. How welcoming it is to feel, like you said, that we're the middle size of things. And that there's middling happening, and that all our kind of, I don't know what it is, like a tendency, it's the thing we do to be extreme in one way or the other, or polarize, or go this or go that, and to have an invitation to the third space. You know, to find the place that's middling, and to middle around, and to be a middler. It just feels really freeing and kind of accepting of the reality of my middleness. And I feel like I heard you really describe what I think humility is, which is of the middle, which is, yes, I have power, and yes, I am small. And so in the third space, I can hold my power and my smallness, and I can find my dignity in the middle of that. So I'm feeling really glad for the imperfection that's allowed in the middle as well. Like, it's not the pinnacle, and it's not the doldrums. It's the ordinary middling of things. And for some reason, the thing that's cropping up is this whole kind of culture of famousness, and how we all want to be noticed, and we want to be recognized. And what if this middling, like recognizing each other in our middling and our ordinariness, is actually what really meets that desire to be recognized? Because I feel really recognized just by this conversation. And maybe we get to recognize each other by speaking each other's internal worlds through speaking our own internal worlds, and the ways that we imagine things, the way that we experience things, the way that we give ourselves a hard time, the way that we love. In the seeing of that in each other through these conversations and being this way with each other, it feels to me like a deep kind of satisfaction that might be born out of trying to become famous or something. You know, like, oh, what if we recognize each other in the ordinariness, in the middleness? Maybe I wouldn't have to try and make myself stand out or need to be fulfilled in my being seen for some special thing I'm bringing or whatever. And actually, this is what it's all about. It's just really attending to the depths of us and all of the things that go on inside and our life experience, and feeling broadly seen. That there's some way that this language sees us in a broad way that's also quite impersonal in some way, like I don't know how to say this, but like the audience of our lives suddenly becomes quite wide when this conversation happens for me. I don't even know if that makes sense, but like the seeing isn't just like a one person to one person seeing. It feels like it's a more universal seeing that satisfies a wish to be kind of universally recognized?
I think that what you're saying reminds me about how important it is to be in this conversation with other people about our middleness. And that I could so hear from what you were saying that middleness isn't such a great word, Lizzie. It's another word that's in our vocabulary now. It's not mediocrity. Like, middleness is not giving up on the two sides of the polarity. It's including both sides of the polarity. So it's knowing ourselves both as small and giant at the same time. Tiny and powerless, and with way more capacity than we imagine. And that's what these words are so brilliant. That's why the title, "Coming, the Sky Coming Apart and Together at the Same Time," such genius. It's when we can hold our place in the middle. The third space, the third place is always what holds the two ends of the paradox together. And I think that we really, you know, you said, I can't remember what words you said, but the feeling of being met by knowing this about ourselves. And it's really true of all of us. And we, there's lots that's beautiful about the culture that I know that I live in, the wider culture that you and I share because of where in the world we live and that lots of people around the world share. But there's one of the great traps in it is that it leads us very easily to either end of this polarity. So either we think we're nothing and worthless, and there's lots and lots and lots that keeps on telling us that and reinforcing that, or we imagine that we ought to be, to live at the other side of the polarity. And it's a sort of it's an irony, really, that we're one of the places that we're making this conversation available is on Facebook, because the algorithms of social media platforms are designed to draw attention and reward to occupying either end of the polarity, not the middle. You know, if we can say and show other people, I'm the best person with the best life, and I can show you how fantastic I am, or how wise I am, or how spiritually developed I am, or how rich I am, or how powerful I am, or whatever. Or alternatively, I can tell you all the terrible, terribleness. We get lots of attention that way. But I think what we long for, when we come into encounter with that again and again and again, with the ends of the polarity that doesn't integrate them, it's we find ourselves disconnected from ourselves and disconnected from one another, and sort of the certainty of a sort of fantasy world either way. But here we are right in the middle, solving one problem and creating another, feeling broken, not being broken, being deafened by the silence, loving but destructively, imagining that no one's listening, having too many doors to open, not knowing how to do it, and being way more capable than we ever imagined. That's ordinariness. Mm-hmm. And the ordinariness actually of our lives actually is missing very little when we pay attention to it. It's filled with possibility for taking care of one another, for acting on behalf of things that we value, for loving, for receiving, for being of mutual support with one another, and also for being real and in contact with the depths and absolute mystery of a life that we didn't ask for, and, you know, arrived here, we arrived wherever we arrived, no choice of ours. So I'm, as we're talking about this, I'm feeling reminded of and grateful for the simple act of talking about the realness of our experience and the realness of our lives with one another, like we're doing now and in wider and wider circles, rather than trying to pursue some myth of superherodom or spiritual enlightenment or success. Like, we can bring so much to the world without having to inhabit those narratives. So much can happen without us clinging to this fantasy, and to not live in the fantasy does not mean having to live in the fantasy of despair, of there's nothing here either.
I just had this rush of gratitude, Justin, for the kind of conversations these are, because they seem to me to be revealing, or is that right? Like, when we have them, this kind of illusory veils get taken away from me. And life becomes, the way I'm experiencing life becomes different because things get taken away from me. And so I can see what just happened this morning, getting out of bed and coming here as a kind of beauty rather than a drama of some kind. I don't know, there's some way that it happens that I, the ordinariest of things, like you were saying, the ordinary is really got so much in it. But I can only see that and feel that if I'm not completely taken by the stories and the things I seem to have made up, that there's anything wrong, or that it's not the life I should be in, or that I don't want this or something. And then we have these conversations and I think, oh, when I look back at what I was just looking at, it looks different now. And I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I'm smiling at the, I know you could hear, Lizzie, probably everyone could hear that noise from my family in the background as we were talking, and that's part of the ordinariness of it too. Like, here I am in the middle of a life, you know, surrounded by other people like we all are, and that the ordinariness of being in the complexity of things. Yeah, I feel very grateful for that conversation too.
I like it, the way that you described it as noise from my family.
Well, that's one way of talking about it.
Oh,
and that note.
That particular note.
We are going to end for today. It's time. And I want to say to everyone, if you are marking the calendar of the year, which turns this year between now and next time we meet, which turns this year from the one called 2020 to the one called 2021, I'm wishing us all a year where we can find the beauty and the capacity in our middleness.
I'm enjoying the middleness right now, and thank you to Justin's family for making me laugh, and I know that we're going to come offline and I'm going to laugh even more. Thank you everybody for being with us in the ordinariness of each of us coming from our little home offices, and obviously the rest of the shenanigans of our lives happening around us. And actually, we haven't said this for a long time, Justin, but we do have this is by hook or by crook practice, which means that wherever we are, whatever's going on, we turn up, whatever we look like, and whatever rainstorm we're in, and whatever anorak we've got on in the rain. I remember doing one in the rain on a doorstep once in Falmouth. And it feels really lovely in terms of just how ordinary this is, just how middling we are doing this practice this way. So thank you everybody for letting us be that way together. And we will be here next week will it be 2021 next week?
It will, yes.
Oh my gosh, it'll already be 2021 next Sunday. And we'll be back and here ready to begin another calendar year with you.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.